A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. Jesus told this parable to his disciples. A certain man was going on a journey. He summoned his servants and entrusted his property to them. To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to a third 1, each in proportion to his ability. Then he set out. The man who had received the 5 talents promptly went and traded with them and made 5 more. The man who had received 2 made 2 more in the same way. But the man who had received 1 went off and dug a hole in the ground and hid his master's money. Now a long time after, the master of those servants came back and went through his accounts with them. The man who had received the 5 talents came forward, bringing 5 more. Sir, he said, you entrusted me with 5 talents. Here are 5 more that I have made. His master said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You have shown you can be faithful in small things. I will trust you with greater. Come and join in your master's happiness. Next, the man who had 2 talents came forward. Sir, he said, you entrusted me with 2 talents. Here are 2 more that I have made. The master said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You have shown you can be faithful in small things. I will trust you with greater. Come and join in your master's happiness. Last, came forward the man who had 1 talent. Sir, he said, I had heard you were a hard man, reaping where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered. So I was afraid, and I went off and hid your talent in the ground. Here it is. It is yours. You have it back. But the master answered him, you wicked and lazy servant. So you knew that I reap where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered. Well then, you should have deposited my money with the banker, and on my return, I would have recovered my capital with interest. So now take the talent from him and give it to the man who has 5 talents. For to everyone who has will be given more, and he will have more than enough. But from the man who has not, even what he has will be taken away. As for this good-for-nothing servant, throw him out into the dark, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Recently, a friend of mine was talking about her youngest son, who went to college on a basketball scholarship and now has graduated. And, like most parents, she was wondering what he was going to do with his talents and education. Since her husband is well connected in the business world, her son has received some promising job offers. But he still hasn't made up his mind as to what he wants to do. And then she added, who knows, he might even be thinking of entering religious life. He's pretty close to some of the brothers who taught him in college, and he continues to be involved with religious activities and retreats. And besides, she said, he's always had kind of a spiritual side to him. I can remember when he was a child. He used to talk about how close God was to him. In fact, one day he said to me that when he's very quiet and alone, he can hear God whispering. What a lucky child, and don't we wish that all children could have that same feeling, and adults. Wouldn't it be nice to feel that secure and loved by God? And it is our prayer, especially as we get older, that our relationship with God will deepen and become more intimate. Probably most of us, when we were children, learned about God from our parents or teachers. But as we've gotten older, we relate to God differently because of our experiences, our study, and prayer. So as we listen to this gospel of the talents, we're not tempted to view the master in the parable as God. because it's not the God that we've come to know. With this master, none of us would even have a chance. We don't know a lot about the master at the beginning of the parable, except that he's wealthy and he decides to go on a long journey, and that before he leaves, he entrusts three different servants with an unequal portion of his goods, as he says, each in proportion to his ability. These words alone should raise our curiosity. He doesn't sound like a particularly easygoing master. In fact, he sounds rather calculating and shrewd, yet not directive, because he neither tells his servants what he expects on his return, nor does he give them rules on how to use his money, the money he has entrusted to them. However, later in the story, the third servant has a telling remark about the landowner's character. He says, "I had heard you were a hard man, reaping where you had not sown, and gathering where you have not scattered." And surprisingly enough, the landowner doesn't deny this characterization of himself. In fact, he confirms it. No wonder the third servant was afraid. Who wouldn't be intimidated by a master with such a hard reputation? Furthermore, what if the third servant had invested his money and the investments had gone sour? Bank had been had become bankrupt. What would the landowner would have said then? "Good and faithful servant, you tried." Doesn't sound like the words of this master, because no matter how you look at him, he has a rather harsh and demanding countenance. Not a person with whom I would like to deal. Certainly not a person for whose money I would like to be responsible. It's hard enough to risk one's own money, let alone someone else's. But the focus of the parable is not on the landowner, but on the third servant. And Jesus is not talking about portfolios or investing money. He's questioning us as to how we use our talents and gifts, how invested we are in building up the reign, this power of God here on earth. This parable echoes other parables about giving ourselves fully, dying for what we believe, and making room for growth, risking, trusting in God's power to multiply our good works. In other words, allowing grace to happen in our lives and surprise us. If we hold on to what we have and don't use it for the common good, not only will the community suffer, but we will lose the desire to share our gifts. If our capacity to love is not used, our hearts will begin to grow cold and distant from others. If we are indecisive out of fear of what others might think, this fear can immobilize us, block our vision, and make us hesitant to do the works of justice and mercy that we're called to do. If we're too timid to seek the truth, to ask probing questions, too fearful to be fully invested in the life of our church and in our nation, this parable is a stark reminder of the dire consequences of our fear and inaction, and it stands in contrast to Jesus' words and life. Jesus, who gave everything for us. Maybe the invitation to risk everything that this parable asks us to do is too demanding for us to hear today. But remember, change comes one step at a time. And God is not like the master of the story, a hard man who wants us to live in fear of punishment. Rather, God has placed in us God's Spirit, who dwells in us, strengthening us, encouraging us to see and to do what is good and just. So perhaps the question we need to ask ourselves today is, what is the one step I need to take so that I can become more fully invested in life and more fully a lover of God and one another.